What's up, divers? Welcome into the Deep Dive Fantasy Football Podcast, where I take a deep analytical look at fantasy football and combine it with a common sense approach to lead us to some titles. I'm your host, Brandon Gabor, and before we get started, remember you can follow me on my main platform being Twitter at DeepDiveFF or on Instagram at DeepDiveFantasyFootball. With that being said, let's get to the content. What's up, divers? Welcome into another episode of Deep Dive Fantasy Football. Today, we are projecting the Bills. Actually, the same day that I projected the Commanders, and I just recorded the Commanders a couple hours ago. I went and got some food from Sam's Club, because you know your boy hungry. And now I'm feeling rejuvenated, so feeling good. Got a nice little stock going from Sam's. Sam's is like Costco for people that don't know what Sam's is. So we're going to talk about the Bills now. And there is some really key stats that I found while diving into the Bills. A lot of people talk about it, you know, just quickly off the dome, but I'm going to actually give you the stats that back up those quick thoughts that you hear a lot. So first off, let's talk about coaching, right? And this is where those thoughts are going to come from. Their new offensive coordinator is Joe Brady. He was their interim offensive coordinator last year after they moved on and fired Ken Dorsey. And he made a colossal shift, and we will talk about that. The offensive line, they added offensive tackle Lyle Collins. For the skill positions, they had a whole bunch of movement at wide receiver. They lost Gabriel Davis. They lost Stephon Diggs. They added Curtis Samuel. They added MVS, who cares? And they drafted wide receiver Keon Coleman from the second round. They also drafted my boy Ray Davis in the fourth round. He's a running back. On the defensive side of the ball, they just got ravaged. They don't have a lot of cap space. They weren't able to keep their guys. A lot of their guys are older. They lost Tre'Davious White. They lost Jordan Poyer, two of the better defenders on their team for the last 4 or 5 years. They lost edge Leonard Floyd. They did draft a second round secondary player, Cole Bishop, and a third round defensive tackle, Dewayne Carter. But overall, this defense is definitely going to be taking a step back from what it once was. And their offense has a lot of new faces. So this team might have a rough start. They might not start hot, but I think they will get it going pretty soon. Because I actually like Joe Brady. I liked what I saw from him last year. And Josh Allen is still one of the best quarterbacks in the league. Looking at history for the Buffalo Bills, in 2023, they ran 1,091 plays, well above the NFL average. They passed the ball 53% of the time. Now, what's funny is that's because of Joe Brady. That number would have been much higher, as it has been, like in 2022, when they passed the ball 57% of the time instead of 53% last year. Both between this past year that finished and 2022, they had 50 and 51 touchdowns, pretty consistent there. And, you know, it's a team that runs a lot of plays, that usually passes a lot and scores a lot of touchdowns. It's a great team for fantasy football just in general. However, there are going to be some things that change that, and it's going to be because of Joe Brady. Once Dorsey got fired, Joe Brady righted the ship. You have to think of the context that the Bills were in. The Bills were 5-5, 10 weeks into the season. They were projected to be one of the darling teams of the AFC, one of those teams that are top three, top four, fighting for the number one seed. And instead, they were looking at a very, very bleak future of outcomes that could result in making the playoffs barely or completely missing it. And when you're thinking about those Bills, the expectation to make the playoffs was everything. The expectation to get to the Super Bowl, the pressure was to get to the Super Bowl. It was a Super Bowl or bust type of year, and they were on track to miss the playoffs in the AFC at 5-5. They fire Ken Dorsey, and Joe Brady takes over. Joe Brady leads them to a 6-1 stretch of 7 games. What he did worked. What he did got them what they needed, and he completely cemented his role as now the offensive coordinator because of that 6-1 run. The team was performing on all cylinders, and that is something that I'm excited for, but we have to acknowledge what it changes, because it changes a lot. Joe Brady, his Bills offense was on a tear. That 17-game pace, if you take those 7 games and stretch them out to 17, that would have been 1,180 plays. That is by far first in the league. They would have had a 47% pass rate and 53% run rate. They were running the ball more than they were passing. They said, guys, we're getting out of hand. This passing is getting ridiculous. We need to run the ball, establish the run, use the physicality that our offense possesses, and bring in the reins. And that's what he did. They only passed the ball 47% of the time, yet they were still on pace for 49 touchdowns, which would have been 7th in the league. So 1st in the league in total plays, and 7th in the league in touchdowns, and that was running the ball more than passing. That's what Joe Brady did, right? So we should expect something similar to that, and I'm going to keep that in mind in my projections. Josh Allen's pace during this was 556 passes, which would have been the lowest. If he never has gotten hurt, right? If all his seasons over the last 4 seasons, he played every week and it was 17 games, 556 passes would have been his least amount of passes, right? 4,143 passing yards. That would have been his least amount of passing yards. 24 passing touchdowns. Once again, his least. But 675 rushing yards and 19 rushing touchdowns. 19. He averaged during this 7-game stretch 26.1 points per game. Josh Allen was the QB1 by far in points per game once Joe Brady took over. And Josh Allen has been QB1, QB2. He's safe. He's not the guy I'm worried about. The reason I'm bringing up the passing yardage and the passes is because there's not going to be as much to go around as one might initially believe just looking at the history of the Bills with Josh Allen. Because Joe Brady is about that ground and pound, grind it out type of offense. However, he still runs a high pace of play, which is nice. Because usually people that are like that also don't have a high pace of play. So it kind of like double hurts the receivers because there's less percentage of the time that they're passing and they're getting less plays off. But there's a lot of plays off in this offense, so still going to be plenty to go around. The defense got much worse, right? They're losing a mad amount of veterans, so they're not going to be able to control the ball as much and have as much plays or run the ball as often as they were last year, in my opinion, because the defense is just going to be really hurting them in terms of time of possession and what they can do. So this is going to allow them to be among the top in the league based off what they did with Joe Brady last year. All of this considered, they'll be among the top in the league, but the defense is going to hold them back. So what are the highlights, right? The offensive line is ranked by PFN 19th for 2024. The defense got worse. They were run heavy with Brady and very successful, going 6-1. They had the highest pace of play in the NFL by far. They were top 10 in touchdowns. Josh Allen used his legs in the red zone more. And Joe Brady's offense had to do anything to stay alive in the playoff race, including abusing Josh Allen's rushing. And because they were doing everything they had to do to win those games, I also think Josh Allen's rushing was kind of peaking during that time, not in the way that Joe Brady probably prefers. So I think his rushing will come down a little bit as well. But I have overall very good projection, the highest team in total plays projected so far that we've done. I got the Bills at 1,125 plays. I have them passing and running the exact same amount, 50-50. So 50% pass rate, remember, Joe Brady, they were passing the ball 47% of the time. But because the defense is worse, they might have to catch up a little bit more, and they have to keep Josh Allen safe, not let him run as much until it's, you know, game time, gotta win it, gotta have it all. Towards the end of the season, if they're in a situation where they have to win those games, then he'll run more. But as of the whole season, the context of the whole season, he's probably not. So I have him at 50% pass rate, 50% run rate, and 50 touchdowns, just like last 2 years, 50 and 51. So looking at Josh Allen, he's going to have 563 passes. And we talked about his pace with Brady. It was awesome, right? And how it was probably because they were in playoff mode so early why he was running as much. So I think he's going to use his legs a little bit less, try to take less hits, and won't feel the pressure to keep extending the drive and not throw that pass because it might not get completed, and you can't risk that right now because you got to win this game, right? So over the whole season, he's going to be running less. But I'm going to give him 7.5 runs per game. During the stretch with Joe Brady, he was running the ball 9 times a game. So I'm bringing that down a little bit. I'm keeping his similar efficiency to what he did with Joe Brady, changing it just a little bit, also in the positive direction in terms of completion rate and stuff. He had a much lower completion rate than you would expect, but I think it's because they did a lot more play action. And I'm assuming, I actually don't know if they did play action more during that time, but I saw that his completion percentage came down from anything he's done over the last 4 years, but his yards per completion went way up. So I'm assuming that was because of play action. That's usually what you see with offenses like that. But anyways, with the wide receiver core having a downgrade now, with Diggs leaving, Gabriel Davis, who I think is a little bit overrated, he's leaving. And the guys they've brought in are new and young and might not be as good right away. So with the wide receiver core being a little bit less, I'm going to just kind of keep Josh Allen doing what he does efficiency-wise. But the bad defense might push him into superhero mode, and he might be a rushing monster. We're not really sure. If that pressure from last year just carries over into this year, which I wouldn't be surprised if it did, and Josh Allen is like, look, Joe Brady, I know you don't want me running the ball, but we need to be not in the situation we were in last year. We need to be a top seed. We're not going to go 5-5 or 6-4 through the first 10 games and be worried that we're not going to make the playoffs. That's not going to happen. And if anything, I'm going to try to get us a really good matchup. So I want to win us these games. I'm going to run it because I'm that dude. Josh Allen might do that, and he might be better than I have him projected, but in terms of rushing. But this is what I have for him. 563 passes, 355 completions, 4,182 yards, 27 touchdowns, 127 carries, 572 rushing yards, and 13 rushing touchdowns. Remember, he was on pace for 19 with Joe Brady. 13 rushing touchdowns for him. That's 24.2 points per game. That puts him probably as my quarterback too. That puts him right behind Jalen Hurts. They're not too far off from each other. Hurts my number one, Allen my number two. The only quarterback that I think might get in here, maybe, would be Anthony Richardson, Lamar Jackson, maybe Kyler Murray, and maybe Patrick Mahomes. Probably not Mahomes, probably not Kyler. I think Anthony Richardson possibly might get here, depending on where my rushing touchdown number lands on him and what my rushing lands for, because everything has gone well for him. But to continue on with the Bills, Josh Allen's most likely going to be my quarterback too at 24.2 points per game. Now, I generally talk about wide receivers next after the quarterback, and that's generally because wide receivers are the most targeted players on the team. However, the most targeted player on this Bills offense will not be a wide receiver. It will be Dalton Kincaid. So he is who I'm going to talk about first. In week seven on, in his healthy games where he played more than 60% of the snaps, Dalton Kincaid had 13.2 fantasy points per game. During the season last year, Sam Laporta had 14.1 points per game. Dalton Kincaid had 13.2 once he was healthy playing from week seven on. It's not a big difference. And Laporta had 10 touchdowns to Kincaid's 2 touchdowns. If Kincaid and Laporta were equal on touchdowns, Kincaid would have been better for fantasy. And touchdowns, you know, are not the stickiest stat. So it's something to keep in mind. Huge target share vacancy. And I think that that's going to allow Kincaid to be the number one. He could easily be the tight end one in fantasy if he gets a lot of touchdowns. Last year, when Joe Brady took over as offensive coordinator, Dalton Kincaid from that point forward had a 19% target share. I see this, and that was with Diggs there, I see this growing. And honestly, I think he was drafted with the thought of him becoming the number one post-Diggs era, with that thought in mind. I think that's how he was drafted. And now Diggs is gone. And for them to trade Diggs away for so little, and for them to not pay Gabe Davis, they gotta believe in Kincaid. Because there's no way they would just be like, all right, we're gonna have nobody, and hope that we get a wide receiver in the draft at the back of the first round. Hope that we get somebody that can be. No, they had to believe in someone, and the person they believed in was Kincaid. Shakur a little bit too, but Kincaid is that guy for them. I'm projecting 23.5% of the targets for him, with honestly, he could have 25, 26% of the targets. That's what his upside is, and that's how he could be the tight end one without having a huge touchdown share, or he could do what I have him projected for with a couple more touchdowns and be the tight end one. So let's look at it, right? I'm going to give him the same type of efficiency he had with Joe Brady last year in that offense. And it's not crazy efficiency at all. It's about tight end average. But his 6% share of the team's receiving touchdowns, that's going to come up, obviously. He's not going to get 6% of the receiving touchdowns. He's going to get more than that. So I have him at 7 touchdowns. Of the 27 in his offense, I have him with 7. 132 targets, 93 receptions, 1,018 yards, and 7 touchdowns. That's going to be 13.9 points per game. That puts him above Kyle Pitts for me in redraft. And honestly, for Dynasty too. You guys have known this though. You guys know I always struggle with Kincaid versus Laporta at tight end 1 in Dynasty. But 13.9 points per game above Kyle Pitts. If it wasn't for the offense being more run heavy with Joe Brady, Dalton Kincaid could absolutely skyrocket. And that's kind of something that I discovered that held me back from coming out here and screaming Kincaid's name through the mic. Because I was ready to. I was ready to. If they were passing the ball 58% of the time, 57% of the time, like what they have been doing, that would open up another 70 passes, another 90 passes in the offense, and Kincaid could get, you know, 15, 20 more targets. So that's not the case, so I'm not doing that, but Kincaid is still going to be way better than people are expecting, in my opinion. He also has a consistently amazing offense because of his quarterback. And if you're trying to compare him to a guy like Sam Laporta, same draft class, Laporta did better last year, Kincaid's going to be the number one target for this offense. And this offense has really good upside, just like the Lions. And Laporta is never going to be the number one. Pitts is probably not going to be the number one. It's probably going to be London. Laporta is definitely not ever going to pass Amon-Ra St. Brown. So when you're looking at the potential outcomes, there's only three tight ends in the league that are the number one targets for their team, right? It's Travis Kelce, Mark Andrews, and Dalton Kincaid. And Mark Andrews, who knows? Zay Flowers might pass him. So Dalton Kincaid is one of three, maybe one of two, that could be the number one and probably are the number one for their offense. So that's why I like him a lot. I'm going to be drafting him everywhere. I mean, dynasty, redraft, I'm all over Dalton Kincaid. Everything is leading up to him having a breakout season. Keon Coleman, looking at Stephon Diggs, because Keon Coleman is taking the mantle as the wide receiver one in my projections. Diggs had a 23% target share with Joe Brady. Now, Keon's not going to command the same share right away, instantly. That's not going to happen. Stephon Diggs was somebody that had, you know, a lot of years in the NFL, a lot of chemistry with Josh Allen. However, that may have deteriorated towards the end, but they did have the chemistry. They know how to work together on the football field. So Keon Coleman's not going to come in as a rookie and command that much. I think he's going to be the number two behind Kincaid, and I think he's going to still be better than people think. Jordan Travis, the quarterback for Keon Coleman from FSU, he threw him a lot of balls that did not allow him to pull away from defenders. And it made his not great separation look atrocious. When it's not atrocious, it's just not great. His play speed is way better than his testing speed. You could see that in the gauntlet drills. You could see it just by watching him in college. Just, you know, put some highlights on, put whatever on. You just need to see him moving. And when you're watching him move, he's not some lumbering, like, guy who can't separate at all. Like, he's a very good athlete. He's above 9 in the 9 out of 10 scale for RAS. Like, he was in the top 10% for wide receivers at his size. He's not going to be this guy that everybody thinks he's going to be. He's not going to be the next Laquan Treadwell. He's not going to be the next N'Keal Harry. He's not one of those dudes. So he's got great size, strength, hands, great wide receiver for Buffalo weather. Buffalo weather. And he's great after the catch. One of the best in the class, in my humble opinion. Yes, sometimes he's not bringing down those 50-50 balls, but not all 50-50 balls are created equal. There are 50-50 balls that are up high where you can just go beat your defender, and there are 50-50 balls that the defender has the inside position on you and it's underthrown. Those are different scenarios, right? Keon Coleman's 50-50 balls were not Roma Dunze's 50-50 balls. I'll just say that. But he does sometimes drop a 50-50 ball that he should catch, but overall, he is very good in that scenario. He's got the size, he's got the potential. I think he's going to have the work ethic. He seems like a good kid who wants to just get better and play football, and I like that a lot. Seems like a head-down kind of guy. You know, he's goofy, he's fun, but he's not going to be out here causing trouble, and I think that's one of the things that may have, you know, caught the eye of the Bills after dealing with Stephon Diggs. So I'm giving Keon Coleman 20% of the targets. I see him above average for yards per target for rookie wide receivers, but not much above that. He's just, you know, he's got a really good quarterback and he's got some good after catch skills. So I think his yards per target are going to be higher than most rookies. He will get probably the most receiving touchdowns among the wide receivers in this offense because of his above the rim skill set. I'm giving him 9 touchdowns, more than Kincaid. I'm giving Keon Coleman 9 of the 27 touchdowns. I think that's going to be his calling card in this offense. I think it's going to be, you know, stuff over the middle, stuff down the sideline, him breaking tackles and doing stuff after the catch, and him in the red zone. I think that's going to be Keon Coleman. And I have him at 113 targets, 72 receptions, 914 yards, 9 touchdowns. That's 12.8 points per game. That makes him a back end wide receiver 2, top end wide receiver 3, top end flex. Right, I have him above Deontay Johnson, but below DK Metcalf, if you wanted a reference. Khalil Shakir, he is the next guy we're going to talk about. I was actually surprised diving into him. He did not get as many targets as I remember. I thought he was targeted more than he was. But he does a lot with those targets. Actually, he had an absurd 13.6 yards per target. The NFL average for wide receivers is about 7.7, 7.8. He was almost double in his yards per target, his efficiency. He had 11% of the targets from week 7 and on. I'm definitely going to bring that up. But it just shows that as the season went on, he started to get more work. I expect him to be the wide receiver 2 with an increased role and more volume. Because of that, his efficiency is surely going to come down to earth. So I'm going to give him about 9 yards per target, still definitely well above the average. And I think that's where he's going to live right now. He will be used downfield a lot. Josh trusts him. Josh was trying to get him on the field. Josh would throw him 50-50 balls. And somehow, despite that, this dude had an 85% catch rate. I'm just crazy. Just craziness. 14.3 yards per reception. Now, 14.3 yards per reception is what I am now projecting with a 64% catch rate, not 85, because that's just, you've never seen that on high targets ever in your entire NFL life. I mean, the closest thing is Michael Thomas, and he's not going down the field ever. So I have Khalil Shakir stepping forward, stepping into that number 2 role as the wide receiver, the number 3 target role in the offense with 18% of the targets, 4 touchdowns of the 27. I think he's going to be a decent late shot at wide receiver for Dynasty. I think he might be a very interesting best ball type of guy because he does have that big play ability. He's very good after the catch, one of the best. And that's something that's nice. They're starting to put some weapons together for Josh Allen that can help him by doing stuff on top of what he gives them, right? Keon Coleman's good after the catch. Khalil Shakir is good after the catch. They're trying to give him some weapons that can do more. So I have Khalil Shakir at 101 targets, 65 receptions, 927 yards, 4 touchdowns. It's 10.7 points per game. Like I said, a decent late shot at wide receiver. Maybe he ends up doing more, getting targeted more than I believe. And even if not, if he just hits on those touchdowns, that 10.7 points per game will be more like 12 or 13, and that will make him a really good flex wide receiver 3. Curtis Samuel, we'll just speak on him for a moment because people always sleep on him. I don't want to be the guy who just doesn't give him the respect. He's actually a really good receiver. He's done a lot in the league. He's just never been a guy that is commanding a lot of targets or been in a situation where he could just be the number 1 or something like that. But he will be a good third wide receiver. I liked this signing for Buffalo. I think it was good. Give them some depth, give them some flexibility. He's going to be the third wide receiver. I think he's going to take some carries, some gimmicky stuff here and there. He usually does some of that every year. I'm not extremely interested in him because of the additions of Keon Coleman and Marquez Valdez-Scantling. Because of them, it's going to just really hold him back. But I do have Curtis being more involved than MVS. He's got 62 targets for me, 40 receptions, 450 yards, 2 touchdowns. And he'll have some stuff on the ground as well. I have him at only 6.1 points per game. Like I said, not really touching him. And now James Cook. And this will be the end of our Bills podcast. So, James Cook, and I forgot to ask in the Discord if anybody had any specific questions they wanted me to answer, so sorry about that. But you guys can always just send them. You don't have to wait for me to ask. James Cook, he had 12% of the targets after Joe Brady took over as offensive coordinator. He also had 16.7 carries per game. That is a 284 carry pace. He is a very efficient receiver 2 years in a row. I see the run game getting a lot of work, but I don't think it's going to be exclusively James Cook. They brought in Ray Davis, who I like in the 4th round. He's a pro-ready running back. He's older, 24 years old. He's going to impact James Cook a little bit. Cook's not going to get as much as I think he might have before, but also have to think about this. Cook might not be getting as much in terms of percentage, but the volume still might be better because they're going to be running the ball 50% of the time, which is much more than last year. So think about that as well. And they're going to have a lot more plays because Joe Brady has the whole season this time to use his high pace of play rate. So I have James Cook at 11% targets. I have him with similar efficiency in the receiving game. I'm giving him 60% of the running back carries. Last year he had 63% of the running back carries. I'm giving him 60 now. That's going to be 255 carries for him. His yards per carry is over 5. Over his career average, which is awesome. He should keep that going mostly. I know if you guys watch Fantasy Belly of Fantasy Live with me, Chris, and Billy, if you guys watch that, you see me and Chris always have a back and forth on James Cook. And Chris is always pooping on him because he doesn't break that many tackles It's fine. He's got really good vision that allows him to get 5 yards per carry. If you have 5 yards per carry without breaking tackles, that's probably a plus. That's probably a good thing. So that's something to keep in mind. James Cook's somebody that I do like. He's an efficient runner. In terms of yardage, James Cook was among the best in the league at the running back position. He just suffered from a lack of touchdowns. They had 22 rushing touchdowns last year. James Cook only had 2 of them. He should be able to break off some longer touchdowns, get a bigger share of that. I can see that number being way better. I'm going to give him 5 rushing touchdowns, 3 receiving touchdowns. Last year he had 4. For James Cook overall, he's going to have 62 targets, 50 receptions, 446 yards, and 3 touchdowns in the air, and then 255 carries, 1,199 rushing yards, 5 touchdowns. Overall, for James Cook, I have him at just under 100 yards per game. Remember, this is going to be a very run-heavy offense, okay, with a lot of plays to go around. I have him at 1,650, almost 1,640-ish yards total from scrimmage and 8 touchdowns. So a touchdown every other game with about 100 yards, you're going to get those 10-point weeks from him, and you're going to get those 16-point weeks from him. And especially with receptions, you know, you'll get some 18, 19, 20. So for me, he's got 15.4 points per game total. That puts him above DeAndre Swift, above Javonte Williams, above Kenneth Walker. He's probably going to be a top 10 running back for me with that number, with the way that running back has gotten recently in the NFL. With that said, thank you guys for listening to the episode. Thank you for diving in with me, diving deep. I appreciate all the support. Please, if you don't have the draft sheets and you want to get them, it supports me $15 right now. Once they're done, I'm going to knock the price up, just so everybody knows. So get them now. You'll have them for the whole year. You get all the live updates, all of my research, all my projections, my rankings, my data logs for teams, players. You want to be like, oh man, what did the, like, for, here's an example. If you're like, man, what percentage of the time did the Chiefs throw to the running backs in 2022? Guess what? That's available in my draft sheets. What percentage of the time did the Chargers throw to the wide receivers last year? Guess what? It's in my draft sheets. What target share did Mike Evans have when Chris Godwin was healthy? Guess what? It's in the draft sheets, in the data logs. Like, I have so much in there, guys. So please, come support. If you like the podcast, if you're listening to the podcast, I promise you, you'll like the sheets too. And you'll get a lot more on top of it. I've got dynasty ranking sheets, rookie rubric grading, and stuff like that. So as I'm going through this stuff, I still want to try to plug what I can while still remaining focused on my projections. Thank you guys for tuning in. Until next time, peace.